Okay. Good morning, everyone. Let's open up with a brief word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this day, this rainy day, Lord. And we just give thanks regardless of the situation because you're in it, Lord. And so you are good. And we're grateful that we can gather, whether it be in person or over online, Lord, that we can start the day with you, Lord. And so, Lord, we invite you to minister to us, to speak to us, to reveal yourself to us through your word this morning, Lord. Touch and transform our hearts. Give us that extra oomph and motivation and purpose and direction in our lives. So that each day today, we really know how to conduct ourselves and what to focus on, Lord. And so that we could really abide in your will and your presence. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. Still continuing. But this morning we're going to read from verse 8 to verse 10. And just preceding this verse was the well-known verse on love. You know, love is patient, kind. Love is hopeful. It's believing. It endures. And now we come to verse 8. Okay, so you can read with me. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Amen. So this, I don't know what you call it. But at the beginning of this verse, I guess this phrase, love never fails. It's kind of a really encouraging, all-encompassing phrase that we're familiar with. Love never fails. You know, Jesus Culture has a song called Love Never Fails. In fact, I think their album is entitled Love Never Fails. And it just makes me think of other, like, very other phrases of grandeur on love, like love conquers all, right? And I was just thinking about these types of phrases, and you're like, yes, that's the power of love. Yet, what does it really mean, and what does it really look like, right? Well, I'm not going to talk about love conquers all, but like in the case of love never fails, what does that actually mean, and why is it that love never fails? It's something that's so inspiring, okay? So what does it mean? In the ESV, that's the ESV translation of the Bible, it translates, instead of love never fails, it translates as love never ends, right? So that's, I would say, part of it, right? Where we don't have to think, okay, this is just a temporary moment, right? That's what love is. It's just temporary. No. And that's part of why following this, I guess, phrase, love never fails, it goes on to share about some temporal things. And the point is, love is not temporal. It's permanent. It never ends. But in this case, it says love never fails. Love never fails. And in Romans 8, 38 to 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created things we will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so that's also what it really means to us, where love never fails. I think fails in the sense of not like pass fail, like, oh, you have to get at least 50%, but as in it never fails, like it will never falter. As in like, I imagine a car engine, after you use it for 10 years, maybe less, I don't know that much about cars, the presumption is at some point the parts in the car will falter and fail, right? In the case of the love, and when we're talking about love never fails, we're really talking about the love of God, right? Just to be clear. We're saying the love of God never falters, it never ends, and it never fails, right? It's so reliable. And what comes to mind is, you know, basically the love of God, right? God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And after Paul makes this statement about the love of God, that love never fails, he goes on to say there are, and I kind of share, love never fails, so all to say it's permanent, it's forever. And then he contrasts that to things that are temporary and things that are still important, but end of the day, they're temporary. In this case, he talks about the gift of prophecy. He says, someday they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. And then, for we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. So he goes on to list, I guess, these three things, which are prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, right? I guess gift of knowledge, or just not necessarily gift of knowledge, but just how much we value seeking after knowledge, right? To know more, to know the truth, all these things. And his point is, these things are temporary. If you really think about it, in the end, when we are reunited with Jesus, whether it be his return or whether we be join him in heaven, right? Think about it. Would we still need to prophesy? Like, how do we distinguish prophesy is that we would be able to communicate the will of God. And we're like, oh, you know, I feel like the Lord, you know, and we share that with other people. I feel like the Lord. And even then, for us, it's when we do it, you know, it's at least for me, when I prophesy and share what I feel like God is saying, it's never, I might seem confident, but I'm faking it. I want you to know. I'm faking it not because I'm trying to be fake. Or I should say, I'm trying to be confident not because I'm fake. I'm trying to be confident so that it will bring out your confidence in God, right? So thus, even though I'm like, oh, I don't really, like deep down, I'm like, oh, I really don't know. Well, it's just a small, small little voice. When I share it, I'll be like, Jason, the Lord, what, this is the verse, and he's speaking this way. I'll share it very confidently. But honestly, deep down, not that confident. Really taking a big step of faith and just trying to obey. And so what, in terms of like, if I were to do like 100% is how much I'm sure of it and what I sense, it could be like, honestly, 10, 20%. It's hard to put a number on it, but it's low. And all to say, it's very partial. What I have. But once we are reunited with Jesus, you don't need to, then when what you are getting from God is 100%, right? It'll be so clear what God is saying to you. It'll be so clear. And also, who would you prophesy to if you're in heaven? Because everyone else who is around you is also able to understand exactly what God is thinking and feeling and able to communicate. And same with tongues, right? when we pray in tongues, well, first, why do we pray in tongues? We say it's not something, I mean, it's something that's very special, but the desire to speak in tongues is sometimes you don't have the words to pray, right? Basically, you're like, I don't know how to pray. So you could say this, to really operate in this gift of tongues is you have to operate in the gift of, or not gift, maybe it's gift, but you have to operate in humility, right? Because you're basically saying, I don't have the words, I don't know what to pray, because I just don't know, nor do I have, I just don't know, right? I have a house church member, and he can pray for so many things, right? He was like, yeah, I pray for my family, I pray for world peace, and we're like, wow, you do all those things? And he's like, yeah, I do it while I'm in the shower. I'm like, you can do all that? All those things, like, it's like 10 different things. And he's like, yeah. I was like, how, what do you pray for? And he goes, oh, how I pray for it is, I say, Lord, I pray for my family. I pray for world peace. It literally just lists it. I'm like, that's it? He's like, yeah, I just list them out. I was like, oh, okay. And my point, right? It's not to make fun of my house church member. My point is, we don't know how to pray sometimes, right? We just don't know. And so that's the purpose of speaking in tongues. However, like, once we're, do we even, okay, I haven't really thought this through, but do we even pray in the sense of like praying for things once we're in heaven, right? Praying, and we say it's a conversation with God, so of course we talk to God. But in the sense of like, I don't know. Yeah, I imagine we would still pray. But I also think it would be very clear and we would know exactly what to pray for, right? And then the third thing it talks about is knowledge. Knowledge. And I think that's, you know, it's clear. It's just what we value so much. Even as Christians, right? Even like, you know, apologetics, theology, all good things, but we put so much value into it, value into knowing. So Paul mentions these three things because in this context right now, there is an overemphasis in these gifts. And these gifts are good things. There should be an emphasis in these things, right? We should be praying in tongues, and we encourage that. But the problem is if there's an overemphasis, where these gifts are maybe elevated to the highest. And this is probably often seen, especially in charismatic churches. Just throw that out there. Maybe at times, even at SP, the gifts have been elevated too high, where we're so spiritual that so there's nothing wrong with being very spiritual, but it's when that spirituality trumps love, the way we treat people, right? The way we, what we say, what we do, it's all about, oh, I need to operate in the gifts. Classic example, this happens to me too, all of us, but this is where we have to like change our mindset. Is, you know, especially when you have, or you're new to doing the prophetic gifts and say you get a prophetic word. Like during our meeting, we're like, if anyone has a prophetic word, maybe you're at a retreat, you're at a conference, you're at Solomon's Porch, when we do like our All Sons meeting, it's like, hey, if you have a word, you feel like it's from the Lord, we want to invite you to share it. And suddenly you get something, right? And then you're like, oh, should I share it? Oh, no, I don't want to share it. And you have this whole inner dialogue of like, should I share it? Oh, I don't know. And finally, you come up and it goes something like this. I'm just saying this because it's common, right? It's not meant to like make fun or condemn. And then it's like, oh, hey, I didn't even really want to come up here. But I just want to, you know, and this is the process. This is what happened. I was sitting here, and then that word came, and then, and you know, you share your whole process. And so even with this, it happens to all of us. Just want to put that out there. But you can see there's something wrong here, right? Because in this case, it became so much about the gift. It became so much about you operating in this gift and being obedient. And you're like, oh, I have to do this. If I don't do this, I won't have peace. But was that really the purpose of that word? So that you would have peace? The real purpose of the word was to build up the church. That's the intention of the spiritual gifts, right? And so the real intention is love. So what would, and I still battle with this, if I have a word, or sometimes if I have to preach, or if I have to do an EMP, you know, maybe, or worship, I don't know, like I was here, and there was a moment where I thought I might have to do worship, right, today. And I was like, oh my gosh, do I have to sing? Oh my goodness. This gift of worship, I made it about me, right? I really should be, whether it be any spiritual gift, or if I had to worship, or if I give a word, it should be about you guys, right? It's like, oh, I have this word that's burning in my heart. And I have to tell, okay, don't make it about me, because it's not about you. It's about, and so I need to just give this word, like I said, in faith, in confidence, so that people can really receive it. And so Paul is reminding us again, these things are important. Even, it's not just limited spiritual gifts, anything. Things are important, spiritual gifts, very important, but these things are temporary. Love is what is permanent. So that's what we need to prioritize. And then in verse 10, he says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with, right? And he's just putting into perspective. Don't just look to now. Don't look to just your lifetime, but look into eternity, right? Look beyond, I guess for most of us, a safe number would be look beyond 100 years. Or I guess in this, look beyond 80 years. Okay. Look beyond 80 years of our life, right? And then what? And then what? And he's saying, love is what's going to prevail. Oftentimes in this verse, this is actually the verse that, let me say it this way, cessationists will use to say, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the present day gifts and the working of the Holy Spirit are no longer in effect, right? And by that they mean, why they call cessationists? Because they believe that the gifts have ceased. And so they believe that with the apostles, right, that came, the gifts came to a conclusion. And thus, their thing, that was with the, I guess, the closing of the canon, the Bible. Thus, that was the perfect that came, right? And thus, the gifts have ceased. However, we are at SP, and actually, a lot of scholars would say we are all continuationists, where we believe the gifts of the Spirit are continuing. They did not stop. So the question is, when do they cease? And in this case, I think it's quite clear when it talks about when the perfect comes, it's talking about Jesus, right? When Jesus, I mean, you don't even have to read it that, I think on the first reading, you're like, the perfect comes. Who's the perfect? Oh, it's Jesus, right? When the perfect comes, I'm not thinking, oh, that must be the Bible, right? And you got to think also in the context. What would, when this is being communicated and they're like, oh, when the perfect comes, when Paul's saying the perfect comes, who is it referring to? Is it referring to the Bible or is it referring to Jesus? So I strongly feel it's Jesus. But regardless, even though this verse is strongly used, by cessationists. I mean, it matters, but in some ways, if you're looking at the context of this passage, it doesn't matter. Because it's not about, in some ways, it's not about, oh, when will the gifts stop? When will the gifts continue? What is this verse about? It's about love, right? It's kind of hit home the point that love never fails. So, okay, so we know what it means when we say love never fails. It's talking about the love of God that always endures. We should prioritize it. But what does that look like for us? What does it look like in our lives when we say love never fails? And so I kind of shared earlier, I think of the love, not love, but he will never leave us or forsake us, right? That's how God is demonstrating his, I guess, love never fails-ness, right? He will never leave us or forsake us, right? So what is the application? Well, if he, God, will never leave us or forsake us, then we should do the same. We should do the same in the way we love, in our relationships. And this is very hard, very challenging, because people are imperfect, right? We're going to face, the reality is we're going to be faced with hurt, disappointments, conflicts, all these things. And the challenge is we would be like this agape love. Just as God would never leave us or forsake us, we would do the same. And I'm surrounded by this. I'm challenged by this all the time, right? The closer the people in your life, the more likeliness they are going to hurt you and disappoint you. The stronger the higher expectation, stronger the not meeting those expectations, right? And so I'm always challenged this. I'm challenged this especially with my kids. I'm challenged by my wife, right? There's a part of me frequently where I want to close my heart and say, all right, maybe it's easier if Janie just does her thing and I do my thing. And I'm actually saying this to God. Like, Lord, maybe this is easier, right? She does her thing, I do my thing. We just both enjoy ourselves. And then God's like, is this what you think marriage is? Right? Do you think that's what it is? Just coexisting where you would close your heart? Or is there more? Is that what I did with you? And this doesn't just limit yourself to marriage. It's all our relationships, our friendships. And of course, sometimes relationships aren't reciprocated, right? But at least on our side, and I can say this is what I'm always trying to do, right, is at least on my side, I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to leave or forsake people, right? On my side, at least, even if it's not reciprocated, I will be open, right? I try to make the steps to bring restoration, reconciliation, and hopefully someday it will be reciprocated. And I really look to God the Father. I look to the son, the message of the prodigal son of the Father, right? Who the prodigal son in that time when he decided to come back embraced them with open arms, right? And that's really my heart. Like, it's so hard. Sometimes, I'll be honest, even as a pastor, I can't do it. It takes a long time to do it. But I do believe that this is who God is. And this is the love that the love that he extended to us. He wants us to extend that to other people. That's how we glorify him. That's how people know him, right? Because this type of love, not natural. This type of love is not self-serving. This type of love is inspiring. So Wes, invite you up. And And yeah, let's just look into our hearts, look into our relationships, right? Have we closed off our heart? Have we perhaps given up or forsaken others? And if you have, I want to say that's normal. That's the normal. That's how our flesh wants to operate, right? But can we also recognize that's not the love of God? The love of God is eternal. It never separates. It never leaves. It never forsakes. And can we acknowledge that, oh, Lord, if this is the love that you've extended to us, if this is the love that we are not just extended, but we are experiencing right now, where I am imperfect with you, I keep falling short of your expectations, then, therefore, can I do the same to others? Just as I've received from you, can I extend that same grace to others? And just go before the Lord, wrestle with them, meditate, find out what he's saying about your circumstances, a difficult relationship. How does he want you to respond?
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets deep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. When my heart is filled with hope and every promise comes my way, when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands and praise, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours, I am yours. For all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours. For all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours. For all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours. For all my days, Jesus, I am yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours, I am forever yours.
Yes, Lord Jesus, as we look to you, look to the cross and what you did for us. You came down from heaven, met us where we were at, Lord, and demonstrated through your life what it means to love, to do relationship, willing to die and sacrifice yourself for us. Willing to, instead of to be served, even though you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, yet you would be the one to serve us. You demonstrated your leadership in the way of serving us, Lord. And just as you have demonstrated that to us and have received this grace and mercy and love and experienced it, Lord, would you move us to do the same, Lord? Would you fill us up with your love so that we could overflow in the way we love others, Lord? It would not be just in our own effort or strength or expectation. It would be an overflow of the love that you have for us in our lives, Lord. And if that love is lacking, Lord, help us to be aware that, yeah, I'm running on fumes, I'm empty, and at which point we would just run into your presence, Lord. We would run to you and just be honest and say, I need you, Lord. I need you. And just meet with us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that your love will never fail us. It will never forsake us or leave us, Lord. It's a constant in our lives. And because of that, Lord, our lives are anchored, Lord, in you, Lord, because your love is everlasting. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to the screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for healing and restoration. Let's pray for those around these people, friends and family. Let's also pray that they would be able to continue and endure and support and love. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illness, but also in need of salvation in their lives. Let's pray for God's revelation, for God to touch and transform hearts. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God to fully heal, fully restore their bodies. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those who are on our COVID list. Let's pray for Ben and Josiah Chan, Catherine Vogel, Lehman Lays. Let's pray to John and Rachel Chan as well. And let's also cover all our frontline medical workers. Pray for their protection. Pray for courage. Pray against fear. Let's pray for those on the job list. Let's pray for Sterling, also Ian. Although, Rachel, you can take off Ian now. Let's just pray for God's provision, for God's leading and His prompting, and that they would just draw near to Him during this season of seeking. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia Jungmin and Hyunjin SP Tokyo. Let's pray for the U.S. and SPNY. That's our New York plant. Let's pray for Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. Let's also pray for India and our missionary Kelly, who set up a cafe there. Let's lift up. Thank you. Let's turn to our mission council and let's pray for them. Let's pray for P. Samuel, Tim, Sally, Mike, and John Koshy. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for that, for real vision and direction from the Lord of what projects to take up, how to make use of the finances as well. Let's pray. Let's also pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for the fostering and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's cover them. Let's pray for our Friday night gatherings tonight. Let's pray for our IP team, intercessory prayer. Let's pray for SP Youth, SPU, also our discipleship class, GIC. Let's pray for all these gatherings, for God to move on these groups, for direction, for the leaders, for discernment. Let's pray. Let's also pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Tyon. Let's pray for Hina and any others that come to mind. Let's pray for their protection, for the baby to grow and be healthy, for a lot of peace for the parents during this season. Yes, Lord, we give thanks to this day and also your word, a reminder that your love is everlasting and never fails and never forsakes us or leaves us, Lord. And because of that, Lord, that we would do the same. We would prioritize love over, I would say, prioritize it at the very top, Lord. That we would prioritize loving you and also loving each other, Lord. It's not just what we do, but it's how we go about it. And I just pray that you would help us to, instead of just reacting or just doing, Lord, we would really filter it and really think of others before ourselves, that we would really love one another, Lord. And just be with us, lead us, and guide us this day, Lord. And just draw us near to you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day.